Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Monsters of Socks podcast on the Monsters of Socks podcast network, the number one baseball podcast network in Australia, Switzerland, Kazakhstan, and Sri Lanka. Shout out to the Sri Lankan listeners. Really wish I was on the streets of Colombo with a bowl of curry right now, but I am not. I am in Boston. My name is Dan Secatore. I am the managing editor of OverTheMonster.com. I am joined by a number of people today. Normally, you hear Brian Joyner's voice to welcome you to the pod, but we're doing things a little bit differently because, guys, it is opening day. Happy opening day, everybody.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, baby. Oh, yeah.
Listen to that enthusiasm. You guys are, you sound as enthusiastic as a bunch of people who, like me, may have gotten several emails from the Red Sox ticket office over the last couple of days talking about how many tickets are still available for this weekend series.
You sure you don't want to come, guys? Huh?
You know? What's the forecast looking like?
It's not good. It's going to be bitterly cold tomorrow. It is going to be bitterly cold tomorrow. All right,
you can warm up with a $70 sweatshirt, though.
Dan, yes.
Did you ever think of that?
Yeah, and well, the new watermelon margarita that they have, too, will keep you warm regardless of how it's
served. Sounds gas. Do not underestimate the ability of a beer blanket to help you out there.
I am not, and I will be having one tomorrow. We have a very special episode for you guys tonight. We have a roundtable discussion to open up the season. The last time we did this was to end the season last year. To start us off, we have a couple of new voices that you guys might not be familiar with. You just heard one of them there. So I'm going to introduce our new people. First, we got a new show since last time we did a podcast. We got a show called The Pod on Lansdowne. It's going to appear every Wednesday. We wanted to get all three of them on. Jake had a medical emergency. Liam just completely flaked on me. And Fitz is here for now, although my understanding is that he has to wake up at 3 a.m. because he's a fisherman or something and needs to be on the docks in Gloucester time.
I think Fitz does mean fisherman, like son of a fisherman or something like that in Irish. So I don't think you're too far off the beaten path there.
So there you go. That is Fitz. For those of you Hello. Who haven't heard his voice, welcome. Just to give a little peek behind the curtain of how the Pod on Lansdowne guys got here. When I started this job, late last summer. I spent a lot of time sort of trolling Twitter, looking for people who were smart and funny about the Red Sox. I saw these guys' names pop up a few times. And then on the night, I don't remember which one of you jabronis did this, but on the night of the Astros combined no-hitter in the World Series, does anyone remember that? That seems like a long time ago.
Feels like ages ago, man. I don't even remember what I had for breakfast like 2 days ago, man. That's
then you probably won't remember this, even if it was you that tweeted it out. But on the night of the combined no-hitter, when all of baseball Twitter was arguing over whether it was a real no-hitter or not, which it wasn't a real no-hitter for the record, like I said, one of you guys tweeted out, it's only a real no-hitter if it comes from the no-hitter region of France.
I'm going to guess, you know what, I'll do a little bit of digging if you do another spiel introducing someone else on the side. Okay. My inkling is I think that's a Liam one. That's Liam.
It sounds like I saw that tweet and I was like, all right, I'm signing these guys up. So they are here now. Like I said, every Wednesday, Pondo lands down. Our other new voice, someone else you haven't heard on the network yet. He just joined us as a writer, but you may have heard him because he is the host of the Big Bad Bees podcast, affiliated with Stanley Cup of Chowder. Jake Reiser. Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be sitting comfortably warm at home. As much as I'm eager, I got my hockey thermos ready to go sit in 40-degree cold-ass weather at Fenway tomorrow. I'm excited to get up there and get going for the season.
Jay, quick question for you. Speaking as someone who lives in Massachusetts but hasn't watched a single minute of hockey since the last Olympics, are the Bruins good this year?
Maybe. If you look at the standings, I think I'd say so.
I've heard they're kind of good.
This is a really fun watch. You know, if the Red Sox aren't your thing for the first month and a half of the season, I know that April baseball is maybe not the funnest thing to watch. Go find the Bruins. These guys are on an incredible tear. They're probably going to clinch the President's Trophy, which is the best team in the NHL, sometime in the next week or so. The playoffs start for them.
Next week or so?
Yeah. Oh, they were going to clinch it last night.
Wait, it's April. Nashville. It's almost April. Yeah. I guess the season is almost done. For some reason, I had it in my head that it was like February right now.
Yeah, the regular season ends about April 15th.
Explicitly here for opening day.
It's crazy how it all just kind of mashes together. But Bruins hockey, you know, really fun to watch right now. Eventually, we'll just have Red Sox baseball, though.
Yeah. I do want to say, for the sake of our website, maybe let's not tell people to go watch the Bruins for the next month and a half. They're not into the Red Sox yet.
This is why we have multiple monitors. People have the Bruins on one and the Red Sox on the other.
That is true.
The miracles of modern technology, you know.
Amen.
I promise I will watch my first minute of hockey at some point during the Stanley Cup playoffs, at which point I'm sure I will quickly become an expert, and then I can come on your Bruins pod. So there we go. Keaton DeRocher. What's happening, dude?
Not much, man. Just getting excited for the start of the season and just ready to fire up the old quad box right in the middle of the day.
Nice. And do we have Brian? Hey, Joyner, what's happening, dude?
I'm not going to lay the details of what today is entailed on these fine people in Keaton, but holy shit, am I ready for opening day?
Thank goodness. All right, well, let's get into it then. Before we get to the roundtable discussion, I want to do a brief reset of where we are and how we got here. So if you guys remember, on October 5th, 2022, the Boston Red Sox defeated the Tampa Bay Rays 6-3. J.D. Martinez led the way with two home runs. Xander Bogaerts chipped in with two hits. Matt Barnes locked down the ninth inning to save the game for the winning pitcher, Edward Bizzardo. It was the 162nd game of the season, the Red Sox 78th win of the season. They finished in last place for the second time in 3 years. That was the last baseball game the Boston Red Sox played that counted. Then the offseason began, and for a long time, absolutely nothing happened. Then the winter meetings began. And the first few days of the winter meetings, absolutely nothing happened. But then, on the last day of the winter meetings, so many goddamn things happened. Kenley Jansen signed. Masataka Yoshida signed. Ian Bloom and Sam Kennedy split a California blend called Pessimist, Pete Zara, and Zinfandel. retails for $26.99 at Macy's. You guys remember that? Remember how fun that little wine bottle was? After that, there were approximately 76 different reports that Xander Bogaerts and the Red Sox were close to signing an extension. Jared Carrabba's kept posting GIFs that people thought meant something for some reason. And then we all woke up to news that Xander Bogaerts had signed an 11-year deal with the San Diego Padres. Ian Bloom needed a minute, and then another minute, and then another minute. Then the winter meetings ended. Justin Turner and Corey Kluber agreed to contracts. John Henry went to a hockey game. Here you go, Jake. John Henry went to a hockey game, and according to him and nobody else, wasn't booed.
I'll have you know, all right? Was not booed.
Was not booed.
I just can't believe that he owns the Penguins. It's just flabbergasting to me.
I don't think he knows he owns the Penguins, so you're not the only one who can't believe that. 2 days later, after the Winter Classic, Rafael Devers signed a deal that will keep him in Boston throughout the prime of his career for a lot of money. And then 5 days after that, Trevor Story went under the knife with an arm injury. Then it was winter weekend where John Henry was definitely booed. Then it was spring training. Yu Chang happened. Raimel Tapia happened. The World Baseball Classic happened. And now here we are today. So tomorrow is opening day. The lineup for the Boston Red Sox, or at least the regular, not necessarily tomorrow's lineup, but the regular lineup will be behind the plate, threat to public safety, Reese McGuire. At first base, the mayor of Red Sox Twitter, Tristan Casas. At second base, the former Florida Dairy Farmers High School Baseball Player of the Year, Christian Arroyo. The left side of the infield, the dueling faces of the franchise. Playing third base, the pockmarked baby-faced Rafael Devers. Next to him, the mayor of Gooftown, Kike Hernandez. In left field, the man who provided lineup protection for Shohei Ohtani on Samurai Japan, Masataka Yoshida. In center field, a guy who's not really a center fielder, Adam Duvall. In right field, the winner of the 2023 Best Shape of His Life Award, Alex Verdugo. And at DH, Kike Hernandez's partner in crime, Justin Turner. The rotation will be Winchester, Massachusetts' own Corey Kluber, Chris Sale, who, ladies and gentlemen, is healthy. How about a round of applause?
Breathing, alive, all four limbs, 20 digits, count them, he's got them.
Yes, we have 2 days to get him healthy, to get him safely to his next start on Saturday against the Orioles. He'll be followed by Tanner Houck as the third starter, Connor Crawford as the fourth starter, Nick Pivetta as the fifth. Nick Pivetta will make 30 starts for this team. Gentlemen, let's get it out of the way right now. That is going to happen. In the bullpen, it's going to be Kenley Jansen, Chris Martin, Richard Blyer. Who am I missing here?
Yoeli Rodriguez.
Yeah, Rodriguez.
Mr. Personality Schreiber, himself.
Mr. Personality himself. That's how we're going to end it. Ryan Brazier in the bullpen.
Yeah, you went through that entire thing, Dan, and I didn't want to cut you off, but the miracle of the entire offseason is that this entire time, Ryan Brazier is still collecting paychecks from the Boston Red Sox baseball club. God bless him, man. You know? What a country.
There were no more moves today, right? So that's pretty much it. There's your team. Ref Snyder, Tapia, Wong on the bench. Who am I missing? There should be one more bench bat.
Did you say Ref Snyder?
Wong, Tapia.
Yu Chang?
Yu Chang, thank you. I did already mention Yu
Group
Chang.
Group A of the MVP baseball classic
Chinese
MVP
type. Hey.
I know. I feel bad. So there you go. So there's the roster. So let's start off. Brian Joyner, I'm starting with you. Brian Joyner, deputy editor of OverTheMonster.com. I am starting with you because you have written and spoken quite eloquently in the past about how much the Mookie Betts trade has killed you inside to an extent. So tell me, heading into opening day, on a scale of 1 to 10 Doug Mirabelli police escorts to Fenway, the time Doug Mirabelli was police escort to Fenway being by far the most exciting thing to happen to baseball in the last 20 years, how excited are you for the 2023 Boston Red Sox?
6. I think that
I was expecting higher. Continue.
No, I
how low were you before?
I don't think I was ever lower than this. I think 6 is the highest I've been plainly since 2019. And I still think this is a bridge year. I think it's a 5-year rebuild, and this is the fourth year. Now, better things could happen this year, but if I start bumping that into the 7 range, then I start getting expectations. I don't want expectations. I want everything to be gravy. So I think it's at 6 because I think, and we'll get into this, that barring the Red Sox bottoming out, this whole thing is going to play out through next year and the Bloom experiment will not end. I firmly believe that this is a 5-year plan that will be seen through all 5 years. This year, I just want to see as much good stuff as I can, but at the same time, I do realize that Nick Pivetta still might make 30 starts for this team and probably will. And that's like, right. So I'm working within, I'm managing expectations, but 6, no matter how it sounds on an absolute level, is much higher than it has been recently. So
that's what I meant. That's what I meant. Cause I know you have said you are sort of sucked back in for the first time in a while. And not to spoil it, but I saw on, you know, on our staff predictions, you did predict them to sneak into a wild card spot. I thought I was going to hear 7 from you. I did. But I can't argue with your reasoning.
No, the 7, because I can't really back up why I think this team will be better than expected outside of positive regression in stats and like vibes, and like that is not quantifiable, so I'm not really throwing that at a 7. I'm sticking with my 6. I'm happy with it.
All right, is anyone higher than a 6?
I'm at an 8. Jake, if you want to go first, Ooh. You can, but I'm at an 8.
8. All right, 8. That 8. Let's hear it.
All right, so I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump out in front of you there, Jake, but I'm at an 8. So kind of like what Brian said there, I don't want to get my expectations too high. And my 8 in terms of excitement is sort of based on the idea going into the season that I'm not expecting a ton. For the record, I think this team goes 80-82. I'm not expecting them to get into the wild card. I think it's a volatile team. I think there's a high ceiling and a low floor. This thing could go, you know, completely up in flames, or there is a world where this team wins 90 games, gets into the wild card, and then anything can happen. It's baseball, of course. I'm going into it with an 8 out of 10 in terms of excitement. Based on, and it's interesting that Brian's mentioned the vibes not being quantifiable, which is true, but I do feel like there is something a little bit different in terms of this team, building towards something positive. Last year was one of the least enjoyable years in recent memory, and that's saying something after 2020. I guess I really wouldn't count 2020 because a whole lot of other things were going on that year.
Yeah, that didn't even happen. Didn't
yeah,
count.
Right, yeah. So yeah, just taking that
sorry,
out of there.
Sorry, LA, it just, didn't count.
Right, it was just a boring, just bleh year, you know? Even some of the bad years that you've seen with the Red Sox, you know, the clown show that was 2012, at least that was funny. It was horrible, but at least we were able to get some yucks out of it a little bit. 2022, not so much. Obviously, coming off of the disappointment of 21, the ALCS run there. Looking back to last year, there was just sort of a nothing bleh void. I mean, there's not too many highs, some pretty deep lows in there, but just kind of a nothingness to it. But you look at this team now, you look at this 2022 team, you see a youth movement going on, you see potentially a positive culture change being built towards the future. So I go into 2023 with that 8, with that excitement, knowing that this could be, to quote High School Musical, the start of something new. You've got Tristan Casas potentially getting 500 plus ABs. Hopefully Brian Bale.
Is that where
Bale.
That quote comes from? I feel like that.
I'm sure there's a lot of other references
yeah,
you make
kind
from
of,
that.
Kind of generic to pin that down to one source.
Like, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. The start of something new. It's not exactly the most unique of phrases, but people of my age will definitely appreciate that. Troy and Gabriella, shout out. In any event, you know, Casas potentially getting into the Rookie of the Year mix. Brian Bayo hopefully throwing something like 150 innings or so. I would love to see that. Laying the foundation into something bigger and better in 2024 and beyond is something that I'm excited for. Even if it doesn't reflect itself in the final record, I think it's going to be a more enjoyable team to watch. I think it's going to be a more fun viewing experience. And I think it could set up something positive. Now, are other people going to feel the same way if they do finish 80-82? I don't know. I can really only speak for myself. Even if they do finish just below 500, if it's an enjoyable year, you know, that's there's something to take away from that. So that's why I'm excited for that. And again, if things break their way, if the pitching holds up, if Sale can give you something resembling a full season, things could, I don't know, weird things have happened in baseball, especially with this team. So that's why I'm going in a bit more optimistic. I'll give it an 8.
Well, I find it funny that Fitz is more optimistic to finish 80-82, and I predicted them our staff things to go 85 and
it's almost like that says something deep about your respective personalities and outlooks on life.
But here's my thing. Last year, we rightly say last year was like a disaster. They won 78 games, which is like
no. They were the most disastrous 78 win team ever.
It's not horrible, right?
They had no soul. Like
it was just nothing. It was ugh. What was the pinnacle of last season? What was the best moment that happened last year? What was the number one Red Sox moment you would say on the field?
Well, probably June, that walk-off. All of June was insane.
June right. was cool. That was they had that little run there for like two, three weeks or so where they went
25-5 and lost a game in standing somehow. Still.
Trevor Story was possessed by Willie Mays, basically. Yeah. You know the ghost of Ted Williams for a month there. but like that walk off win against the Yankees, what early July that was cool. Then everything, went belly up right after that, almost immediately. But, you know, for the most part, nothing really stands out a ton from last year, even though 78 wins isn't god-awful. It just felt like just such a drag of a season.
Speaking of such a drag, let's welcome Jake Devereaux to the stream.
Oh, fighting words.
What's up, buddy?
I've had a tough day. He knows it. But Jake is here. Jake has joined us on the show, and we are talking about how excited we are on a scale of 1 to 10 for the Sox this year. Why don't you jump in, put you on the hot seat?
Oh, I'm at a 2.
Whoa.
Solid 2.
Whoa.
Yeah. No.
You combine us, you get a 10. So there you go, right? You
know? Yeah. There you go.
World Series back on.
I honestly.
It's a little insane to me, but go ahead.
I have no idea what you guys are at as far as numbers go. But yeah, I don't see a ton of hope for this team. I'm excited for individual things. I'm excited to watch as much Masataka Yoshida as I possibly can. I'm excited to see if Chris Sale can get back to being Chris Sale. And I guess I'm excited to see if Brian Bale has a breakout. Those are the only things that are exciting on this roster to me. I'm not really expecting much from a lot of the new additions. Like, I think Adam Duvall is going to be fine, but I don't think he'll hit for a ton of power playing center field. I think Casas will be okay, but I think he's going to be a little bit of a slow burn. Yeah. Wow. I feel like I'm really bringing the energy down here and
vlog back off. I'm just confused by you don't think Adam Duvall will hit for power. That's the one thing he will do.
No, actually, when Adam Duvall has played center field, he's really not hit for power. So that's been a real thing. Like, numbers have backed that up. So
they have backed it up. I will jump in here though, because I did write an article a few months ago specifically about Adam Duvall's power. You are right, Jake, that he didn't just not hit for power. He didn't hit for anything when he was playing center field. But he only played center field for about 40 games last year before he was injured. So I don't think we can read into too much of that. And he was also their center fielder during the World Series run. He was frequently moved over or replaced in late innings. But he was – when Adam Duvall hit that grand slam in the clinching game of the World Series, he was penciled in as a center fielder in that lineup. I am a little worried about him too, though, that said, though, because – the particular injury that he has and the surgery that he got this offseason, I did take a look at it for that piece. I found it is something that's happened to a couple other sluggers. It happened to Mark Teixeira. It happened to Jose Bautista. It happened to Nick Johnson. And it also is what happened to David Ortiz when he went through his little mid-career slump. And all four of those guys did experience to greater and lesser degrees. It wasn't as bad for Bautista. It was catastrophic for Nick Johnson and Mark Teixeira. They all did experience power slumps in their first year back. They all rebounded from it. Well, Nick Johnson didn't. He just retired and quit. But the others rebounded from it. But the first year back, it was rough. And I am a little worried about that because an Adam Duvall who doesn't have power doesn't really deserve – to be a baseball player. He'll be fine in center field, but he's not going to be great in center field, and he literally does nothing else.
I was going to say, of the list of guys that you just named, he has much more in common with Nick Johnson than
any of the other names.
Those other guys are much fair better.
I got to be honest, Dan, just quickly in there. The only thing I heard in there is at some point, I don't know if it's this year or sometime in the near future, Adam Duvall is going to hit 600 in the World Series and beat the Cardinals in 6 games.
There you go.
You know what I mean? That's all I took
from bringing this up. Thank you for bringing it up. This is not – we should not be spending too much time on Adam Duvall. As interesting as he is, it's very – if Trevor Story is apparently going to start swinging a bat in 2 weeks, if he comes back and pushes Kike to center field, we never have to worry about Adam Duvall again. So Jake Reiser – you raised your hand when you said you were above a 6. So bring us up from Jake's 2, please.
I'm going to bring it way up. And I'm actually at a 9. But is it not quintessential before opening day to want to say, hey, let's get the duck boats ready. And then complain every single game afterwards for the rest of the season.
Hope springs eternal. And then it doesn't.
As someone who is genuinely baseball starved, even with how fantastic the World Baseball Classic was, I'm beyond excited for this season just to see some semblance of hope that something's there. And I genuinely think that it's there. As Fitzy talked about, vibes aren't exactly quantifiable, but vibes can be a little bit quantifiable. You can see it with the mayor of Red Sox Twitter, Tristan Casas. You can see it with faces like Rafi Devers. I don't know if you guys just saw he was in a Jordan's commercial speaking English, and it was just really fantastic. Yes, he was. I just saw it about 5 minutes before we hopped on. Rafi Devers speaking English.
I've seen it.
He's going for it's that really Dustin good. Pedroia bag.
Exactly. Oh, man. See guys like Rafi Devers.
Is this
going to
be like an actual commercial on TV, or is this just one of those?
It is. It's that classic Jordan's if the Red Sox player hits a cycle after July 31st, everything is free.
Oh, Jordan's furniture. I thought you were talking about Jordan's shoes. I'm way less excited now.
No, he's talking about the place where you could buy a couch and also ride a roller coaster for some reason.
I was so excited. I thought you were telling me that Rafael Devers was on a national commercial for Jordan sneakers.
Okay, I have the best memories of watching Dustin Pedroia in those O'Reilly's commercials. You guys can't say the same thing too,
That's true.
But, just to see some semblance of hope, see these new faces of the franchise really come out. We've thought we've had them for years. We thought Mookie Betts was going to be the face of the franchise. We thought Xander Bogaerts would have been a captain. But it's Rafi Devers' team now, and I'm excited to see where it gets taken from here, where it gets taken in the next season. I agree it's a bridge season, but I think we're going to have fun regardless.
All right, Keaton, we just went from 2 to 9. I feel like you're probably going to be somewhere in the middle. Am I right?
Yeah, I am. I'm like a 6 or 7-ish. I don't have a ton of high expectations, but there's a lot of things that I'm looking forward to seeing. And a lot of people have already touched on it already, like getting to see an entire season of Tristan Casas. Super pumped about that. Getting to see as many innings as possible from Brian Baio. Super pumped about that. Whoever may end up getting called up from the minors, potentially a second half run of Rafalia. That'd be amazing. It'd be super fun to watch. So there's a ton of individual performances, guys that I'm looking forward to watching during the season. But the overall team performance, I'm expecting to be 84 wins and not make the playoffs. So there's things within the season that I'm looking forward to watching and I'm excited to watch. But my expectations for the entire season are not super high, but still excited for baseball to be back and watching all these guys. Oh, and Yoshida, obviously, super excited about him. Was excited about him before the World Baseball Classic, and his performance at the World Baseball Classic just made me even more excited about it. So there's plenty of guys I'm really excited seeing play for the Red Sox, seeing how they progress, all these youngsters. Just mixed feelings on how I think the team will perform over 162.
Can I just really jump in here for a second, though?
Yeah, go for it.
I just want to rectify my two here. My two is strictly
you
about
this rectify your
Sox,
deuce?
My deuce, your deuce, yeah. So my two is strictly about this Red Sox roster. Like it's a very uninspiring roster, but I am so happy that opening day is here. And I actually am more excited for baseball in general, like the whole MLB, than I have been in years, because I think all the rule changes are super positive, and I think the star power is in an amazing spot. And we were going over the awards, you know, potential MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year. I mean, all that stuff is in a great spot right now. So even though, like, I look at this Red Sox lineup and pitching, and I'm like, it's kind of devoid of hope here. All of baseball is wonderful. So I am still feeling the opening day vibes, and I think we're going to carry a lot of that energy that we saw with a great WBC over to the opening day.
Yeah.
That's really isn't
Jake
a great
just
spot.
Talked for more than 15 seconds, so it doesn't count. So, boom.
That's why Bob Osgood is not on the show, by the way. I heard his awful World Baseball Classic take, and I said, you're canceled.
Get him out of here. Out.
I find
this sport
it
really isn't
that,
such a great spot.
I find it interesting saying, that none of us mentioned Garrett Whitlock, who I think will be the best pitcher on the Sox.
All right. Well, wait a minute. It's a good segue then. All right. Joyner, I don't know if this is going to be your answer, Joyner, but let's move on to question number two. Who do you think is going to be the most important player on the 2023 Red Sox? Whose performance will have the biggest impact on either the team's success or failure?
Well, I don't know if I'd pick Whitlock. I'd probably pick Yoshida. I'd probably pick Yoshida because I think that he is going to, first of all, on a very real level, play so much that his result, he's going to bat at the top of the lineup. He's going to play every day. What he does is naturally complementary to what Devers does, but it's perfectly complementary in the best sense. And if he is as good as I think he can be and might be, I can see the rising tide lifting the Sox up. I would not pick Garrett Whitlock strictly because I'd rather die than trust a pitcher. So I'm going with Yoshida.
Isn't Yoshida batting cleanup to start the season?
He is. Yeah, that's what they've announced, at least. He's your cleanup hitter. We don't know who's leading off, right?
It's a round table between Kike Hernandez, yeah. Alex Verdugo, from what I believe. I'm going to go totally contrary to Brian. I have to pick a pitcher, and I'm going Kenley Jansen here just because I think one of the positions that the Red Sox have been dying to lock up, fans have been dying for years since the heights of Craig Kimbrell, is a definite closer. Matt Barnes couldn't do it. Whitlock would have looked great in it, couldn't do it. John Schreiber is not there yet. I don't know anybody else in the system who could take over that role. So I think the pressure is all on Kenley Jansen to shore up that closer role. I don't know how to quantify it. I probably can. I just didn't do it before the show. How many wins were squandered last season because we didn't have a definite closer, and how many blown saves or blown holds there were in the eighth?
I can look that up. I think it was 92, Jake. I think it was 92 blown saves. I can double check on that, though. That's what it felt like.
Totally right. But I think to have a definite closer, someone who's actually going to lock down your ninth inning, that's the difference between making the wild card and being that like 80, 78 win team season who's totally on the out and out. That's going to be your big X factor right there. I think Kenley Jansen's super important to this roster.
I think, okay, to back you up on what you said, if it was just three games last year, they're a 500 team, right? And then on top of that, the only corrective I have to you is that I don't know who else could be the great closer, and it's Chris Sale, but like we're not going to mention that because he's a star.
We're not ready for that conversation just yet.
We're not ready for that conversation, but I like that. Yeah.
Well, that's a good segue. Right. That's a very good segue right there, because in my opinion, the 2023 Red Sox go as Chris Sale goes. I think.
Thank you, Fitz. I can't believe it took three people to say this.
I don't know if that's the easy answer, but I think it's the definitive answer there. Chris Sale is how old now? Probably 33, if I had to guess.
Something like that, yeah.
So 33. So. Been a couple of years since he's been totally healthy. You have the Tommy John thing. You have the bicycle trip from hell and everything in between that's happened since then. You have seen snippets of Chris Sale over the past 2 years. You saw him with that fiery, you know, walking off the mound after striking out Kyle Tucker in the ALCS against the Astros. Game 4, I believe that was. Game 4, I forget which one it was off the top of my head. The point is that, you know, he looked sharp there. The start he had before the comebacker against the Yankees in July of last year, that Rays game, that was the Franchi Cordero first base error game that made me lose sleep. He was wicked sharp in that one, too. So you've seen these snippets of when Chris Sale is on the mound. Maybe not vintage 2017 Chris Sale, but still an effective starter who could act as a stopper, a stopgap guy in your rotation. We need a win. We need 5 or 6 really strong innings from our ace. You take the ball, Chris. Give that to us, please, and thank you. That's why we're paying you the money. We're at a crossing roads with it here, and I know I understand he's towards the end of his contract here, at least getting big money with the Red Sox. But if he's going to be paying dividends on the deal that he received a couple years ago, it's now or never at this point. He's healthy. The injuries he sustained are not elbow-related or shoulder-related. They are flukier injuries, but he seems to be healthy now. Don't think the ribs are going to be an issue. We're going to keep him away from bikes. He's going to be like the bubble boy in Seinfeld. We're going to keep him, hand-deliver him to each of his starts that he needs to start at. But again, on the wrong side of 30, this is where the rubber meets the road with Chris Sale in terms of this contract he's received. I think he can perform well. But if the Red Sox have any aspirations to play somewhat deep into October, it starts with him. So I think he is the pivotal piece of this team.
Yeah. Fitz, so what do you think about that? Volunteering to be his personal bodyguard for the whole season?
Listen, he names the time and place. Someone fills out the proper paperwork. I fill out the W-2. I could be there tomorrow. You know.
Also, if you'd believe it. Tomorrow is Chris Sale's 35th birthday.
I was just gonna say 30, no. Today 35. Is because remember it's open. It's well, March
30th. Oh, that's true. Right, it's today. That's right. Today. We're recording.
Happy birthday,
that's right.
Chris.
Happy birthday.
My present to you was thinking that you were 2 years younger than you actually were. That's COVID grade of work right there. You know, just 2 years.
Wait,
behind
is
everything.
It so? Jay, is it his 30? I'm looking at his Wikipedia page says he's 34, but it says he was born on March 30th, 1989, which
right,
to me means 30.
He's turning 34. Today, yeah. Right? Yeah. Right. So, 34th birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Happy birthday! We're starting.
maybe that's what the whole thing is about. Why he's not starting on opening days? Because he's at the TAM right now, getting wasted.
Yeah, you know, he's deleting some beer cookies. Let a man live from amongst us, right?
With this that, is 100% the right answer, though. He is like a healthy Chris Sale. Is one of the 10 best pitchers on the planet. All right. So forget about adding a closer, like add one of the 10 best pitchers on the planet to last year's team. And what happens? That's if he's healthy, that's what he is.
And not only his performance on the mound, that also keeps guys like Carter Crawford out of the rotation. And yes. Right to the actual rotation and just
and
the ripple
guys,
effect
yeah.
that it has. It's,
you know what? Caleb
so
Orton there throwing big innings, Keaton. Huh?
Josh Winkowski, guys, come on.
Hell of a spring, but you know, I don't know if we can count on it.
And honestly, so much of why last year was bad was because there was so much dead weight at the bottom of the roster that got a ton of playing time. New future Yankee superstar Franchi Cordero, Bobby Dalbec, Jaron Duran, like you said, Cutter Crawford, Josh Winkowski, even though Crawford had a good run in the middle of the summer. Like there were so many at-bats in innings pitched by players who shouldn't be in the major leagues, and thanks to some depth moves, probably won't be on the Red Sox this year. So that's a really good point. Keaton, is Sale your answer too?
100%. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Voice of reason.
Far be it for me to disagree with Keaton, but I just want to point this out. I usually point to 2021 and say fluke, and it was, but Grissel pitched 42 innings that year and they came two games away from the World Series. So my only point is that there could still be a path. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
You hold the keys, Mr. Sale. He holds the keys. Hey, with that, fellas, keep on keeping on. I got to log off at the round table. It was a pleasure meeting you guys virtually and talking with you guys virtually. Definitely feel like we're going to run this back at some point. So until then, enjoy your opening day drubbing of the Orioles. And the path to 162-0 starts now. And hope you all enjoy it.
Nice for hearing from you, Fitz. You take care.
See you, folks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, Jake Devereaux, you are the last one to answer this question. Most important player on the team, who you got?
Oh, it's Chris Sale. Yeah, this was an easy one for sure. Keaton and I talked at length about this with Bob as well on the Red Seat podcast, and it's the Sox go as Chris Sale goes. So I'm not going to beat that dead horse, but I completely agree. I think, you know, having that front-end ace is one of the most important things in baseball, not just from a wins and losses perspective, but from a mental perspective as well, giving the lineup a bit of a break when those guys are on the mound, not feeling like they have to, you know, go out there and score 10 runs. I think that's just, it's huge mentally, and I think it really does a lot to help reset the bullpen as well. So every team needs a stopper, and Chris Sale can be that.
I will say this, Joyner, in your defense, Yoshida is probably the most important player for the next 4 years. Because I think, like, the there being a next great Red Sox team depends on a core of Devers, Casas, Meyer, probably, and Yoshida. And if Yoshida is bad, then the five-year plan is in big trouble.
I mean, the only counterpoint I have is we had Jun Lee on the pod, and he mentioned like 9 guys he thought were critical to the Red Sox having good season, and Chris Sale wasn't even one of them. He didn't even consider him.
I don't even remember that part of the conversation.
That can be used to y'all's point, and I understand to be like, yeah, well, if he's a superstar, then you add that to the base that is not him. And I think he's going to be good. I just don't agree. That's the best I can do.
You don't believe he'll be healthy.
I don't believe that his performance is the single greatest variable this year.
You know, I feel like we could turn your scenario around on back onto yourself and say that. So in 2021, he did pitch 42 innings and they were two games away from the World Series.
And they only made the playoffs. They might have won the World Series.
Sure, but then you're going to go through the whole roster and then go through how everyone performed compared to projection.
Or you could just stop at Chris Sale.
Just, you could, you know. And that would help you. So go, so you do that.
You know, not to rehash last year's exasperating season, but that Sale injury, that comeback against the Yankees, was just the straw that broke the camel's back for everybody. I think there was so much buildup for so much of the season. When is Sale going to get back? When is Sale going to be healthy? When he gets back, we can have a solidified rotation. We can maybe sneak ourselves in there. And then an injury happens, and it's just completely deflating to the fan base, to the team. That was so detrimental to everything last year. I do think there's a lot of hope riding on Sale to back these guys up.
I do think that the team, as Jake is saying, the team is emotionally invested in Sale. And as I've written about and is obviously true, Sale's relative talent level to historical baseball players, obviously higher than Yoshida's, is higher than anybody's on the Red Sox, including Rafael Devers. I just think that at this, I think my broader point is at this point, I think injury concerns are sort of just baked in. But I would be thrilled to be wrong on this.
I'd be thrilled if you were wrong too, Brian.
See, look, Jake and I, Jake G and I, see an eye to eye.
That's right. All right, moving on then. So speaking of Chris Sale, a guy who might surprise at least Brian Joyner, who on this Red Sox team is going to have the most surprising season, either surprisingly good or surprisingly bad? Keaton, who you got?
I'm going to go with Alex Verdugo. I believe it's finally going to happen, and he's finally going to have that breakout. And I don't really have anything in it besides last year he showed kind of instances of being able to put it together. The second half of the season, he had a ton of bad luck where he was just hammering the shit out of the ball and just the results weren't there. A lot of bad BABIP luck, and then it just kind of, with the way everything else was going, it just kind of felt like it was piling up. It feels like this is the make or break season. I believe he's got like another year, but if he wants to basically play his way into an extension, it feels like a lot's riding on this year. He's got a lot of confidence and swagger. He had a nice little World Baseball Classic to get things going, playing competitive games early in March. We also need somebody in the outfield to have a really good season. The Red Sox keep kind of messing with his spot in the lineup and also in the field, and it feels like coming into this year, well, I guess, except for the spot in the lineup, because I talked about how this is going to kind of rotate around, but it feels like things are more settled or at least understood now. And Jake and I have talked a bunch about how when guys are able to settle into their role, I feel like they can be a lot more consistent. So I think given all those factors, it feels like maybe things are coming together for Verdugo. We're finally going to see that breakout.
I don't think that's going to happen at all, but that would be nice. I very much believe that Alex Verdugo is who Alex Verdugo is at this point. Anyone else agree with Keaton that Verdugo is going to be a surprise plus this year?
I think it could happen. I almost went there. I mean, I'm going to choose somebody else just because I want to be different, but I support you, Keaton. I think that Verdugo has that talent to do it. I'm not sure the mentality is 100% there all the time. But I think if it's going to happen, it is in his best interest for it to happen this year, because he's running out of time before he's going to hit free agency. And that man is definitely financially motivated. I mean, look at how many chains he has. He needs to be able to afford those things.
That is true.
Don't forget about those girls now.
And the girls. So who is your choice then, if not Verdugo?
My biggest surprise is going to be boring to you guys, probably, but it's Christian Arroyo. Would you guess how many plate appearances Christian Arroyo had last year?
He had probably around, okay, there you go. Are you looking this up or is that a guess?
Off the dome.
It couldn't have been that many, right? I'm going to say 320.
300. He had 300 plate appearances last year, and that was his career high. I think my big prediction for Christian Arroyo is that he is going to push 500 plate appearances this year, and that he is going to be instrumental to this team being successful.
I would love for that to happen. I'm a huge Christian Arroyo truther. Wrote a big article last year after he had that. You guys remember that one game against the Braves, like in August when he single-handedly beat the Braves, the Red Sox. He had like a home run and like like two doubles or something like that. I think like if he's healthy, I think he's a guy he probably ends up around with like somewhere 18 to 21 home runs. Probably, you know, maybe only going to get to like a 350 on base percentage or something like that. I love that pick. Does anyone have a surprisingly bad pick? Joiner.
I was trying to come up with one because I wanted to balance it out. And as you guys were talking, I was looking through the roster and finding someone who, relative to our expectations right now, and I think that's very important, might not live up to our expectations. And
just say it.
He doesn't have. The thing is, he doesn't have to live up to expectations to keep his spot on the team because he's so versatile. But I think that batting wise, Kike Hernandez could leave something to be desired. And he's been really whipsawing between relatively bounded OBPs and slugging percentages. And if he hits the bottom on both, he will still be a valuable member of the team due to his defensive versatility. But I'm the bat. If he can put together an average season for him, and I'm talking like 320 slugging and 320 OBP and 400 slugging, I'm cool with that. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah. That is a really good pick because he holds such a weird spot in the psyche of most Red Sox fans right now. Because
he's like the IT guy. He's like the IT guy at a company. It's like at a small company. That guy does everything.
He does everything.
It's like
and for people who like might not have been familiar with him when he was on the Dodgers, like he came in and it was either first or second in B-War on that 2021 team, and then turned into Babe freaking Ruth in October. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of people's mind, you know, in a lot of people who are following the team more casually, it's like, well, Kike Hernandez is a star, and his injury was looked at as one of the major reasons why they disappointed last year. The fact is that 2021 was by far Kike Hernandez's best season. And he was almost certainly never going to be that good again, just because that's how career years work by definition. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he falls down to like, you know, just a 2.8 WAR win player or something like that this year.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just think like, everything you said about him is, well, both of you guys, I think, are dead on with the Kike stuff. But, like, his personality and the way he's perceived, it's just outsized expectations follow him around just because he is that guy. And, like, Devers, even though he's fun and, like, there's good memes about Devers and stuff like that, like, he doesn't have the same type of star personality that Kike Hernandez does. So I think in a Red Sox market that's really starved for star power right now, he's sort of filling that personality void. And I do agree that he has very many limitations as a baseball player, especially at the plate. So
Yeah, I would be shocked if he got anywhere close to his 2021 value this season. I think that's Kike, a really good pick.
Kike is extremely online to I don't mean this like he structured it this way, but he's extremely online and it sort of overshadows what he does on the field, as opposed to Casas, who's extremely online and it's going to supplement what he does, which is the exciting part about him. But Jake Reiser.
I'm going to turn things back positive a little bit. The Garrett Whitlock experiment is finally going to have some clarity. I think we've talked a little bit about it with Alex Verdugo, having some clarity about where he is in the lineup and where he is positionally. Garrett Whitlock, is he a reliever? Is he a starter? Is he your closer? Is he your setup man? What is he? And he's finally a dedicated starter. He's had a whole offseason to prepare for this. If he can bring 75% of what his remarkable first season in a Red Sox uniform was to the rotation, that's beyond impactful. Again, to keep guys like Cutter Crawford, Josh Winkowski so far back, completely out of our heads, I think Garrett Whitlock has the potential to bring it now that he has the right mindset. It's going to be the positive spinoff of what the Red Sox wanted to do with Daniel Bard years ago, that Bard was a closer or a setup guy. They tried the starter experiment, totally ruined his confidence. It's going to be the complete opposite situation here. I think knowing that he's a starter for this whole offseason, just having that peace of mind, knowing how to prepare, I think is going to be so impactful to that rotation.
Keaton, you're a big Whitlock guy too, right?
Yeah. Are we all? Who's not?
I mean, I'm extremely worried about his ability to stay healthy. like at least with Chris Sale, like Fitz was saying, like Chris Sale's injuries were one freak accident after another. Like the only thing that didn't happen to Chris Sale is his foot like didn't get caught in the rope of a hot air balloon and then like flying above the city so it could just knock into one chimney after another. That's the only thing that didn't happen to Chris Sale. Whitlock, like a hip injury. And remember the surgery, he had the surgery on this thing a long time ago. Like it might have been in October or September or something.
And I think it was still early October. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. And he's still not really ready yet. You know, and a hip, I'm neither a major league pitcher nor a doctor, but I feel like the hip's kind of important in the throwing motion. I loved Whitlock 2 years ago. I was really upset with how he was handled last year because I just wanted him to be a starter and that was it. But I'm pretty worried about his body, I got to say.
Well, that's why this is his prove it year and why he's going to surprise the heck out of all of us.
Yeah, let's hope so. Fair enough. Before we move on, let me ask one question. Was anybody, when they considered this, a little bit tempted by the devil on the shoulder to say Rafael Devers?
Not in the slightest.
Nope.
Zero.
Maybe an eensy weensy bit. I feel like now that he's got that star contract, you don't know what that does to a person mentally and how that affects your game. But the dude has just such raw talent, and I think he's going to blow us all out of the water anyway.
I mean, I certainly hope so. And we've all seen the talent. He was, for the first half of last year, one of the five best hitters in all of baseball. And then, for about 6 weeks, he was one of the five worst hitters in all of baseball. And he ended up, for as much as we love the guy and for as much as we think he is going to be a superstar, I mean, you know, he ended up with a very good 4-win season. Didn't hit 30 home runs, didn't hit 300, OBP right around 350. Really, 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 really good hitter. But is he going to ascend to like top 10 hitter in the game? Like, I think we all kind of are hoping and assuming he is.
I think he needs to ascend. I think he just needs to get back. If he can get back to his baseline performance, I don't care what number he is in the league. He's worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a little bit of a false narrative around like this idea that Devers was the safest of the three stars that the Red Sox could have hitched their wagon to, you know, like the the whole decision-making process about whether or not they were going to tie up Bogarts or Betts or Devers. I feel like Devers is more risky than people give him credit for. And I think the risk is tied up in the fact that, like, he doesn't have a solid defensive home. He has a pretty high maintenance body, it appears.
I thought you were going to say he doesn't have a solid body.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. And I just think, like, the hitting prowess that he has, it's great, and he can hit the ball a mile, but I think his swing is also incredibly violent. I think it's very reliant on his bat speed, and I could see the back half of this contract being really ugly. Whereas I think when you look at, you know, Bogarts and Betts and their underlying skill sets, I think they would have been much sure Betts to age gracefully. So from that standpoint, I do worry a little bit about it. I'm just not very worried about it for the next, like, 4 years.
Yeah. And you know, hey, to be fair and balanced here, a couple of people have already mentioned Yoshida's WBC performance is something that's got them excited. Rafael Devers was one of the most disappointing hitters in the disappointing Dominican lineup. Maybe we don't care about that, but if we're gonna give credit to Yoshida's performance on one side, I don't know.
No, that's not how the preseason works. You wipe away the bad shit, and the good shit is indicative.
Yeah, I don't. Unless
it's a rookie, and then the good shit doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't mean to be a downer. He very easily could pop 40 home runs this year. Wouldn't shock me in the least. I do think he is a hitting genius.
I've talked about it, like, the contract for however many years it's for. It's really for 5 years. Like, what you're paying for is the next 5 years of him to play. And to do that, you have to pay for the subsequent six. And, like, that's what it comes down to. So I agree with Jake, but I think that the way this works, and I think on a secondary level, the fact that there are so many contracts that are so similar right now means that they're just going to get shuffled around in 5 or 6 years when people want to get out from under them and other people don't care, blah, 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 blah. So I really think it's like, I don't know how Devers' swing is going to be in 8 years, but I think it'll be fine for the next few.
Can I just say, controversially here, Devers would have been my third choice out of Betts, Bogarts, and Devers.
Well, I knew that coming from you because you are Xander's biggest fan. And plainly, if it was if they were all up for a contract at the same time, Betts would be the answer. Yeah. And I don't think that's controversial whatsoever. I mean, he has the second
same
best
time at the same age. At the same time at the same age.
Right. And, like, yeah, he's the second best odds to win the NL MVP this year in his whatever fourth year on the Dodgers. Yeah. Like,
if he stays healthy, I think that's one of my biggest concerns with Betts. Just the last couple of years, he's been pretty injury riddled, hasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, nothing major, but he's definitely battled little knocks every season in LA for sure.
And his role on that team is also in a little bit of flux, especially because of that Gavin Lux injury that they have. Do they make Mookie Betts a full time infielder?
I don't think they're going to, but I know he has been working out at second. I think that would be the coolest fucking thing if he did go to second base after.
Fantasy after baseball players have their fingers crossed.
That's true. All right, we're hitting the hour mark here, so let's move on to our final question. Jake Devereaux, I'm going to make you start. You answer this first since you came in here hot with a 2 of your level of excitement. Who is going to be the next Red Sox player to win the World Series MVP, and when is it going to happen?
Oh, man. World Series MVP, huh? It will be Freddy Encarnacion, who's 17 years old right now, and it will be in 2032.
2032. Okay.
I just my point with this is I just don't think that it's anybody who's going to be on the opening day roster this year.
You don't think we're close?
I don't think we're close. I think that we are really, really, really far away. You know, it would have been fashionable for me to say like Miguel Blaise or something like that, but I don't know.
Miguel Blaise is only 19. Like, you went with a 17-year-old. Like, you could have just gone with him.
I could have. I wanted to throw a deep cut.
All right. Somebody give me somebody on the roster right now.
I ruined your segment. I'm sorry.
I went with somebody not on the roster, but I went sooner than whatever year Jake was going with there. I went with Shohei Ohtani, 2025.
Oh.
You just ruined the ending that I had planned for this segment, but go ahead. You ruined it in the best way possible.
Yeah. I mean, there we go. Big free agent splash. And World Series Champs 2025, Shohei Ohtani MVP.
Yeah. I mean, we all agree it's not going to happen, right? But
yep. But it's fun to dream.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Just everyone, like, take a moment to close their eyes and think about what happens to the Boston Red Sox in New England if Shohei Ohtani signs with them this offseason.
My excitement level would go up significantly. From a 2 to at least an 8.
I'd poop my pants.
Yeah, no, I'd be at a 10, to be honest. I just got my Shohei Ohtani Japan WBC gear in the mail.
Pinstripes?
No, it wasn't the pinstripes. It's just
It was the blue shirt, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Was the blue one like got the satin sheen that the whites had? I don't remember.
No, it's flat, but the lettering does really kind of pop off. It's
like orange, right?
Orange letters. Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
You know, I'll go with someone who's actually on the roster, and I'll go, let's say, 5 years from now. I'm going Tristan Casas. I think
yes.
It might be a slow burn to start this season. I think that was Joyner who said that, but
no, yeah, you're right. Hold on, no, wait, continue, and then we are going to go back to this because it was Jake who said it, and I meant to make Jake answer for this. So Jake Reiser, you continue, and then Jake Dever, we're going back to you, and you're answering for saying it's going to be a slow burn.
And I think for a guy who's got such a high ceiling as a power hitter, someone who's got kind of the minds of Red Sox Nation on him now. Like, you're the guy who we're all relying on to show off the Chaim Bloom experiment, how the farm system has really improved, how the development within the whole system has improved. And I think he's going to actually be the guy to do that. If he's on this opening day roster, he's going to be the first baseman. If he can just continue to prove himself and build year over year and not let that pressure, especially knowing how Boston media can be, knowing how tough and critical everybody can be, if he doesn't let that get to him and just continues to develop in a really healthy way over the next couple of years, I think he's certainly the guy who could be really pivotal in a World Series to be that MVP.
And he's not going to let it get to him. We know that because we know he wants to be a star and he's ready for it. He's been hitting bombs all spring. He's been hitting bombs off lefties all spring. Jake Devereaux, explain yourself.
Well, let me first pose a question, Dan. How many home runs has Tristan Casas ever hit in a full calendar year of baseball?
I think it's probably something like 16.
You're pretty close. Yeah, his high is 19. He's fluttered between 19 and 17 home runs per year. The issue with Tristan Casas is this: he's a very patient hitter. That's a good thing. But he's also a bit of a passive hitter at times, and he is, and he's said this before. He said it in an interview very recently that he is just not super concerned with what launch angle he's hitting the ball at. He's really just concerned with trying to hit the ball very hard. And sometimes he hits the ball very hard into the ground and is an enemy of all worms in the infield. But, I think Tristan Casas is a hulking physical specimen and will eventually get to his power. But I think that the years where we're going to see Tristan Casas be like that true
middle of the order threat that you think about when you think about a 6'5", you know, hit first baseman. That's not going to happen for a while. I think that's going to be like 4 years down the road. I'd be shocked if he got to 20 home runs this season.
Shocked.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, look, I guess if you want to start with the point that he's only ever hit 19 in minor leagues, then that's a fair point. But he's been injured a lot. He had the Olympics. Like, there was 2020 season. Like, I don't think, you know, if you look at his minor league development, it wasn't a straight line. There were a lot of things that were bumps in the road there. He has maybe the most advanced approach of any rookie I can ever remember. And I feel like when you combine that approach with his physical tools, his floor.
You mean on the Red Sox or like ever?
On the Red Sox. I mean, he's not Juan Soto. Okay. But okay. Yeah. Maybe he's Juan Soto.
Nomar would like a word.
Yoshi might be Juan
Nomar's Soto. Approach was awful. I mean, I love Nomar, but his approach was awful.
He won rookie and did 330 home runs his rookie year.
A brilliant hitter. But I'm talking about Costas' approach at the plate and how good he is at pitch recognition. And you can see how he's working to hit lefties. I think like he's
You know what's better than working to hit people?
Hitting people.
Fair mm-hmm. enough. Fair yes. enough. No, but I'm not saying he's going to be a better hitter than Nomar was in 1997. I don't believe he is going to. But I'm just talking about the way he approaches the game. Nomar famously sometimes didn't know who was pitching that night. He would wait. All of a sudden, the pitcher would go out to the mound before the top of the first, and he'd be like, oh, that guy, cool. That's not Casas. I think when you take Casas' approach with his tools, he's not going to hit 30 home runs like Nomar did as a rookie, but I don't see any way how he doesn't put this all together. And his floor, just because of his approach, his floor is so high to begin with. Like, worst case scenario, I feel like he's Yandy Diaz. Right?
Yandy from last year or Yandy like at his height? Like, I phrased that wrong. Is he going to be, do you think this year he's going to be as good as Yandy Diaz was last year?
I think, well, he's definitely going to hit more home runs. I'll say that. And I think, I mean, he's not going to lead the league in on base percentage the way Diaz did, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the year Yoshida leads the Red Sox in on base percentage and Costas is second.
I could definitely see that happening. I could see him being 80% of what Yandy Diaz was last year for this team, which would be a very good player, but just not a star.
Yet.
Yes. I do think he will become a star eventually.
Hence why my World Series MVP timeline, I think, was 5 years.
5 years, yeah, perfect. There you go. He looks damn good this spring. He really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he really did. All right, Joyner, I think you're the last one. Next Red Sox World Series MVP. My answer was Shohei. I was gonna end with a big. It's gonna be Ohtani next year.
No. I'm gonna end it big because you're all cowards. Every single one of you. And for the same reason that I think Kike could disappoint, makes him a very good choice to be a World Series MVP. And what better year than this year, 2023, baby. Kike Hernandez, World Series MVP.
Is he still playing for the Red Sox at this point?
Let's not worry about that.
I like it. You started at a 6, you ended at a 10, Joyner.
Someone who, since he's gonna play every game, you know that he's gonna move around. If he got hot in the right time, and then Fox is really playing up that everybody loves him, they're showing the pictures of his engagement and all that shit, like people eat it up. Maybe not Keaton. He does not look like he doesn't get excited about things. Guys, you can't see Keaton's face, but he's
I get excited about a few select things. Blueberries, one of them.
Blueberries, nice. Superfood.
Yeah.
Gets excited on the inside.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was trying to quickly look this up, and I feel like it's still close enough to the conversation I can, but our great friends over at Scout the Stat Line have awesome peak projections that they put together. And I was curious what they had for Tristan Casas. And they have his home runs per 600 plate appearances at 23, which was lower than I would have expected.
Well, I think how much higher can you, I think like to Jake's point, like how much higher can you project if he's never hit 20 in the minors?
Yeah. I mean, based on the raw tools, though, you're hoping for more, right?
Yeah, I certainly am.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's it. Does anyone else have anything to add?
No, let's watch some fucking baseball.
Let's watch some baseball. Happy opening day, everybody. If you are listening this on the way to the ball game or just at home getting ready for the game, check out overthemonster.com. You will see, and all right, I'm gonna say this right now in order to motivate myself to finish these tonight. You will see one article titled "How the Boston Red Sox Won the AL East in 2023." You'll see another one titled "How the Boston Red Sox Finished in Last Place in 2023." We got staff predictions up there. We have positional previews. Anyone else want to add anything about overthemonster.com, the only fun Red Sox website?
Big fan.
I think that's the tagline. The only fun Red Sox. I mean, I can think of some others who would argue, but that wouldn't be fun of them. So screw it.
They're all wrong. Yeah. Arguing. Yeah, that's true. I did briefly I briefly looked into changing the little words that appear on the tab of a website. I don't know what the term is for that. Maybe Jake or Keaton, since you started this with some programming talk that I didn't understand, you did know. I couldn't figure out how to do it. So it's still stuck at a Boston Red Sox community, which is not fun. And I want to change that.
Your site subtitle. I'm sure someone can figure it out. Site
subtitle. There we go. Okay. Yeah, I'll reach out to someone.
I don't know. I think all everybody right. should be excited to listen to more of these. Being on a podcast network like we are right now with Fans First, I think everybody should enjoy listening to what we have to say.
Absolutely. And we should do, every time we do the big roundtables, we say we should do more roundtables. And then we let 6 months go by and not do them. So not this time.
Who's like we? Who's we, Dan? Who's we?
Hey,
yeah, so we'll see you at the All-Star break. So
I don't say, do I ever say no to anyone's ideas? I just need the ideas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. I do sometimes say no. I did have to kill an article about guns a couple weeks ago. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Happy opening day, everybody.